From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 5th day of November 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The president of China, Xi Jinping, opened an import conference today and had some things to say about the Trump administration, or at least sure sounded that way. We'll hear more from that conference in Shanghai, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast to that with John Davis. He's with Brisk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, and all the folks from the Andersons will be here to tell us about the cash grain market on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hey, I hope you've already purchased your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference, but if not, you can go online right now, farmassetsconference.com, see the details of the program, the agenda for the day, and buy your tickets. They're just $40. The conference is in Normal, Illinois on the 20th day of November. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, and boy, do we have a good one set up for you. In our fifth year, I think we have a stellar lineup. We're going to talk about how commodity marketing is going to change, meaning how commodities are going to be purchased, and some of those big companies like McDonald's, Anheuser-Busch are going to or are already reaching all the way back into the supply chain and tapping the customer on the shoulder and saying, this is what we want, can you provide it? And it's for regular old commodities, corn, soybeans, beef, pork, poultry. So if you're interested in that and how things are going to change over the next decade, be sure to show up. We'll explore some of the things you can do today to help that process along. We'll also talk about farm management, farm policy, the price of land. We'll discuss a research park here on campus and some of the cool, very cool things that are coming out of there. Agrible and Granular are just a couple of examples. Air Scout, too. So if you're interested, sign up today, farmassetsconference.com. Don't wait, because this is the 20th day of November. It's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. Not very far away. A great way to kick off the winter meeting season. You can also buy tickets by calling this number, 800-898-1065, 800-898-1065. We'll also talk about the price of corn and soybeans, too, of course. One of the people that will be there is Pete Manhart. He's with Bates Commodities, one of our regular analysts, and his comrade is on the phone line with us now, Kurt Kimmel, to talk about commodity markets and what's been happening in Chicago. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being with us. Glad you're here for the day.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Sounds like you've had a big event there on the 20th. You got a lot of ground to cover there and a lot of interesting topics. Wish I could be there, but Pete will be representing us.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll represent. I know he'll do a great job. I really think this is our fifth year with this conference, and I think I hope we've hit a home run. I hope people think so, too. We'll know that day, and we'll know by the sign-ups, I suppose. So hopefully they'll get online and get things signed up. So speaking of home runs, I'm wondering what you think about the marketplace today. Corn managed to gain a little ground.
Yeah, corn feels like a home run. It's kind of fallen in place like most analysts kind of projected. I mean, timing's everything, of course, but most analysts was looking for some type of fall low, then try to climb out of the cellar here and then try to trend sideways to higher end mid-December. And so far, so good. I don't want to jinx it here. Hopefully it won't be down 10 cents tomorrow, but it's kind of fallen in place like this normal seasonality trend goes. Corn demand's robust. We're shipping out what we've sold. Corn and beans both. This morning's export inspections report was at the higher than the expectations. Shipped out 1.2 million metric tons of corn, about 1.2 million metric tons of beans. So, so far, so good in through here. Trade kind of felt like position squaring. We've got the elections here tomorrow. Then we'll have the monthly supply-demand report on Thursday. Spread activity was kind of dominant in through here through the day, buying corn, selling beans, buying corn, selling wheat on the spread activity for the most part. Did see a fresh sale of 101,000 tons of corn to Mexico. We'll see what the weekly report shows later on here in the week on Thursday morning. ahead of the monthly supply demand report there.
Yeah, that November report generally doesn't hold too many surprises because we have most things in hand by then. In particular, this year we were pretty far along as we got through the October report, though delayed by a little bit of the rain, and wondering what that might do to harvested acreage, I suppose, in particular maybe for soybeans. That looks like that caught up. Do we have any concerns that there will be any changes in it at all?
Well, the trade's kind of focused on a slightly lower yield. Ideas are the corn yield could be down about 0.7. The average trade estimate on corn yield is about 180 bushels to the acre. Bean-wise, down just 0.1, maybe 0.2. October, the bean yield was 53.1. The average trade guess is 52.9. So we're kind of dialed into it for the most part. You know, the wild card down the road would be maybe harvested acres. But the thing is the demand prospects. That'll be the other factor is. We've got the crop dialed in. Now, the issue is this last, say, 10% of harvest. Average guess for corn harvest this afternoon, 77% complete as a nation. Beans by 84%. But that last 10% or the quality issue on that remaining inventory that's out in the field has been hammered with rain after rain after rain. You know, that could be a quality issue or a local issue. But for the most part, once this report's out of the way, we'll kind of focus back to the southern hemisphere. Brazil's projected to be about 60% planted versus 43% last year and 41% average. Argentina's coming along, too, with some favorable forecasts. And the concern would be that the beans are going to get in okay, and conditions should be good here for the most part. And if these beans come online a little bit earlier than normal, then we're going to be faced with the boats being lined up to ship South American beans versus U.S. beans here during December and January and February.
Will USDA change the WASDE numbers for export demand this month?
Boy, that's a great question. If you're listening to Trump's tweets, they will. I think he's, you know, I don't know if there's really anything in the workings or not, but they're really hyping up this G20 meeting. I would imagine they'll probably leave things as is for right now and kind of see how things unfold here as we move forward. If there's going to be any adjustments to that, I would think it'd probably be the January report. As far as, raising or lowering export news.
Anything on the livestock side we should discuss for the day?
Oh, brutal, brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, this fat market's just been hanging in there. The board's been a premium to the cash. We got a head and shoulders top here in the fat market. The thing just came unglued. The chart-wise suggesting move in the December fats back up towards this 116, 150 area is going to be some fairly good resistance there. Same thing in the hogs, just kind of not as bad as the cattle, but, you know, showing a kind of a double top in through here and that outside down day technically in here. So it's going to be very, very important for the meat trade to sort of trade lower tomorrow and try to come back and close higher and get some technical help in through here. But seasonally, we see meat demand pick up, and with today's action suggests that maybe we're going to see meat demand slow down.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He is out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, California Democratic Senators Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris are asking Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue to give extra compensation to farmers who've been hurt by trade disputes. The legislators are citing a USDA study that estimates 2018 farm income will drop by $9.8 billion from 2017 income levels. The senators wrote a letter to the secretary saying that California relies on export markets for many agricultural goods, including many specialty crops that are grown almost exclusively in that state. These same goods now face steep tariffs, and farmers are experiencing severe losses, they say. USDA assistance to farmers doesn't make up for the drastic losses farmers face due to retaliatory tariffs imposed by some of America's most important trading partners, including China, Mexico, Canada, and the European Union. As a more specific example, they also cite a University of California Davis study that says the total losses per pistachio farmers due to trade actions will total $384 million. However, USDA has only announced the $85.2 million in pistachio purchases as part of their trade assistance program to help farmers. Now, on the flip side of that, American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore says the picture has quickly changed amid trade deals with Mexico, Canada, South Korea, talks with Japan and EU, and now possible breakthrough with China that lifted soybean futures at least last week, and things are looking better than they had over the past several months.
While we don't yet have, you know, concrete results to show how it's turned, you know, markets around, how it's turned trade around, we're definitely seeing some, you know, confidence, at least that, you know, the efforts are underway to get those issues resolved.
The regulatory environment, he says, has also improved with the president ordering an EPA year-round E15 rule and movement in and out of the courts on waters of the U.S.
The regulatory process is moving forward in a direction to bring the important kind of corrections we feel are necessary to make waters of the U.S. The challenges that, you know, in the previous rule, seeing how this has improved to make sure there's transparency, make sure there's clarity.
But trade fights are still weighing heavily, he says, on prices.
So we need to see some real uptick in where those market prices are. And I think a lot has to do, you know, we've been hearing positive things about Secretary Perdue announcing that he expects to make the full second half of that trade mitigation package payment. That's certainly welcome news. And as we look out here at the lame duck, everybody's hoping and praying that one of the first things that gets sorted out is getting the new farm bill done.
And producers are not out of the woods just yet, says the man from AFBF. On that note, trade issues have led to an increasing supply of beef and pork, which is in turn pressuring poultry sales. The extra beef and pork means retailers are featuring those products more than poultry, luring some consumers away from chicken. Pilgrim's Pride CEO Bill Lovett says the chicken processor posted a sharp drop in third quarter earnings. The drop was attributed to a very challenging U.S. pricing environment. Lovett expects the trade pressure to drop significantly in 2019 as potential new agreements and trading partners help reduce the extra supply of beef and pork on hand. The African swine fever outbreak, for instance, in different parts of the world might actually boost overseas demand for U.S. pork, which should also help clean out the extra supply. U.S. chicken prices have remained attractive, helping to boost demand internationally. In terms of supplies, chicken has been growing at a pace similar to 2017. The industry website MeetingPlace.com says U.S. beef supplies are expected to shrink in 2019, and chicken promotions are expected to pick up at the start of 2019. Or earlier this year, Pilgrim's moved one of its large bird deboning plants to no antibiotics ever and vegetarian fed to help offset commodity market weakness. Well, let's switch topics and we'll concentrate on Bayer for a moment. Bayer says that it's focused on defending Monsanto weed killers containing glyphosate from lawsuits over claims that the products cause cancer. However, Bayer CEO Werner Baumann says they might settle those cases if the court costs become too high. Earlier this year, Bayer acquired Monsanto for $63 billion. By the way, the California groundskeeper who won a lawsuit against Bayer's Monsanto by claiming that Roundup herbicide caused his cancer has agreed to accept $78 million. He's doing so against the advice of his lawyers because he wants to ensure that the situation is resolved in his lifetime. The jury's initial reward in the case was $289 million, later reduced to $78 million by a judge. Dwayne Johnson was a California groundskeeper and pest control manager, aged 42, who developed a strange rash that would lead to a diagnosis of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Court records say his duties included mixing and spraying hundreds of gallons of Roundup, the company's weed killer that contains glyphosate. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Up next, there's a big trade show in China this week, and the president of that nation had a few things to say about trade and tariffs when he kicked it off this morning. The China International Expo, or CIIE, is a political event organized by the Chinese government to showcase some 3,000 foreign companies to Chinese buyers. About 130 of them are U.S.-based. These are companies like Google, GE, and Honeywell, although none of them have sent their highest-ranking officials to the expo. NPR reports the CEO of Starbucks, for example, is said to be in Shanghai this week, but will not be attending the trade show. This is for fear of political reprisals from the Trump administration. Starbucks opens a new cafe in China every 15 hours. Well, the president of China, Xi Jinping, spoke at the expo's opening today. He reiterated yet-to-be-fulfilled promises to lower tariffs, open market access, and streamline China's customs process. Xi also took a not-so-veiled swipe at the Trump administration. All countries, says President Xi, should strive to improve their business environment and to solve their own problems. They should not whitewash themselves and blame others or act like a flashlight that only exposes others but not themselves. The China International Import Expo runs through Friday in Shanghai. It attracts both companies and countries wanting to export goods to China. The United States has chosen not to be represented at the event. Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. President Donald Trump will meet at the end of this month in Argentina for the G20 summit. It is unclear if the leaders of the world's two leading economies will be able to come to an agreement on trade. Well, let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. We're joined by Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks so much. Mostly things are finished up here, I take it, in our part of the world.
Yes, I think we're down to the last four or five guys, one or two, maybe 3 days at the most of harvest weather, and I think we can finish just about everybody up.
Have we seen basis? I know we saw it for corn start to close up. What about for soybeans?
Yes, we're starting to see bean basis improve, not as dramatically as the corn basis, but it is, I think we can safely say the bottom's in on the bean basis, and we'll start to slowly see it start to improve now that harvest is wound up.
So if you had to guess, and we only have a minute, which side of the market will do the heavy lifting for corn and which side for soybeans, basis or futures?
Basis on corn. I think we're kind of stuck in a range on corn futures. I think we can go a little bit higher, but with the extra acres, not a whole lot higher. With soybeans, it's probably going to have to be the future side of things. I mean, basis will improve a little bit, but in order to get a substantial move, it's probably going to have to come in the futures.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 347, January 364. Cash beans, 821, January 833. And new crop wheat is 523.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons Grain Elevator right here in Champaign County, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by John Davis. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, John. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. My pleasure as always.
Well, let's talk here about the Midwest. Boy, it looks like colder weather is coming in. What does that mean in your opinion, and will it be wet as well?
Well, that's an understatement. We're going into a majorly cold pattern coming up by the middle of this week, and it's going to be at least two, if not more, weeks of significantly below normal temperatures across the whole central portion of the country. As for precipitation, it looks like this cold air is going to scour out a lot of the moisture, so the wet zone will be moving down south into places like the Delta and into the southeast rather than the heart of the Midwest. So we have a couple of light precip events coming up, but in general, it will be very cold the next couple of weeks with some minor light events, but no big storm systems across the region.
What do we call very cold at this time of year?
You will have low temperatures in the next week or 10 days in the teens across much of Illinois, with some days where you will have high temperatures at or below freezing. You're talking about readings on some days 15 to 20 degrees below normal. It's significant. In some cases, record-setting cold.
Wow. When does this begin?
The middle to end of this week, and so by late Tuesday, Wednesday is when the cold front goes through. But then the end of this week and over the weekend is when the core of that Arctic air mass plunges right from northern Canada down into the heart of the Midwest. And that's just the first of numerous air masses coming down into the central U.S.
Is this covering the Dakotas, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, the whole of the Corn Belt all the way through Ohio?
The whole of the Corn Belt and even going into the southern U.S., yes.
Wow, so you said it's the first one. When's the second one?
Second one is next week. So once we get into Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, that's when the second one hits. And it looks like we'll have a third one after that.
Oh, my Lord. It sounds like it's going to be cold, and we jump from fall to winter very quickly.
It's going to be more typical of the middle to latter portion of December than the middle of November.
Yeah, so I take it there will be some snow probably further north if that's the case. We don't usually here get to anything until I think the first average inch is the 19th day of December, if I remember correctly, for our station, but not yet. Not yet, I suppose.
Well, I don't know about that. There will be some snow around. There's no indications of any kind of a big storm, but to get an inch or two here or there across the Midwest, that will be pretty likely here coming up over the next, 10-day time frame, yeah. So it looks, again, yeah. The snow potential looks very early, too.
South America?
South America is in fine shape, really no major issues either across Brazil or Argentina. And from a pattern standpoint, it continues to look quite favorable with really no development of any kind of large-scale dryness or large-scale heat. So the good start continues.
Hey, thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. For the rest of the week, I'll be on the road in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. Catch us there Tuesday through Friday, and do visit our website to hear all of our programming at willag.org, and to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference or at farmassetsconference.com.